Good morning, Nicole.
Good morning, Amelia.
It's so great to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me on.
So following Remembrance Day, which was in November, just about a month ago, there were proposals for a Royal Commission opening up the question around veteran mental health. In light of the many recent reports, could you illustrate what some of the findings were?
Okay. So over recent years, we've seen a great deal of research which has come out, which has really started to increase our understanding of what's going on for contemporary veterans of the Australian Defence Force. So, for example, we saw a study which was called the Transition and Wellbeing Research Program, which was led by the Centre for Traumatic Stress Studies out of the University of Adelaide. And that was a big study that was commissioned by Defence and Veterans Affairs to look at what was the mental health of people, particularly as they were transitioning out of full-time service in those first 5 years. And what we found was that we were starting to see increasingly higher rates of mental disorders in that group. So there were issues to do with people talking about their psychological health, their physical health, and also their psychosocial well-being. So whilst lots of people would talk about, you know, the really positive things that they got out of military service, and lots of people get out of military service and lead full and satisfying lives, for about 50% there is this risk of increasing mental health issues, which are significantly higher than what we're seeing in people whilst they're still serving in the Australian Defence Force, and they're also higher than what we see in the Australian community.
The statistics around this are definitely alarming. In the past 12 months, there have been increased rates of post-traumatic stress disorder and within the community and alike. So I'm really curious to ask, when a veteran does seek help when they are back on Australian soil, how does this currently compare to, say, when a regular civilian seeks help? Are there any major differences?
Okay, that's a great question, Amelia. I think one thing I'd like to highlight is that what the research has really shown us is that it's not just about deployment. Being in the military can be a challenging career. And there's lots of things that people need to deal with, lots of transitions, lots of things that they need to change and adapt to, not just themselves, but also their family. That can include, you know, going into the military, can include the type of training that we ask people to do. And it's not just about overseas deployments. It might be to do with things like support to the civilian community during natural disasters. It might be the type of training accidents or the type of training activities that they need to be involved in. So we need to be thinking not just about the impacts of deployment, but just all the impacts about military service. Whilst people are in the military, there are some fantastic services which are available in terms of mental health and health support for them. And I think that what we see, that one of the challenges is as people transition out of full-time services, they then have to try to work out and navigate, how do I get those paying services in a civilian community? Look, definitely we've seen lots of changes and improvements in the services which are being offered within Defence and also through Veterans Affairs and also ex-serving communities and organisations in terms of how do we support people as they're transitioning in and out and how do we link them into services. But we also see that there are some challenges. There are great services available, but veterans and their families are not always getting connected into those as quickly as they should be. And sometimes when they're getting connected into services, they're not getting connected into quite the right ones at the right times. And sometimes they're not staying in those treatment services as long as they should be to really be getting the effects of the treatment that they could be getting. So it's sort of a multifaceted level of sort of issues that we're seeing in terms of across the entire system, not just whilst people are in the services, but also once they've transitioned out of the services.
There definitely seem to be a number of layers to this issue, but I was reading that one of the problems, I guess, and the barriers surrounding getting like adequate and sustainable support is that one of the issues is that veterans don't actually stay engaged in those health services for long enough. Why do you think that might be the case?
Yeah, so as part of the Transition Wellbeing Research Program, in fact, Phoenix Australia, we led one of the reports which was on pathways to care, which was about how do people get help seeking. What we know is that veterans are actually pretty good at going and asking for assistance. And in fact, they're better than the general community in going and asking for support. The issue is whether or not they're engaging in with the right support and staying in that support for long enough. So one of the things that we really see as a place to improve the service system is to be making sure that we're supporting health providers and mental health providers so that they feel that they have the right training to be able to provide services which are what we would call military, culturally competent. They know the right questions to be asking. They know that they know the types of stresses and strains that military individuals and their families may have been exposed to during and post their career, so that they can ask questions around the types of physical, psychological and also psychosocial concerns that the individual might be exposed to. So that's really one of the big areas that we think could be improved, making sure that we're supporting the healthcare providers to have that type of training and to have that those resources available to them also.
So then the question then becomes more so about creating sort of a language or cultural literacy for the practitioners then. Is that what the approach is in this sense?
Yeah, I think that's a really good way of putting it. In fact, one of the initiatives that we have at Phoenix Australia is that we run a practitioner support service where anyone who's providing services to veterans or their families can contact us, and we have a free service which involves a multidisciplinary panel, and we can answer questions that practitioners or providers might have in terms of, am I providing the right treatment? I'm stuck in treatment. What it is that I should be doing? Do you have any ideas as to how I should be providing better support for this veteran and their family? So that's a really good way of trying to support the practitioner, because the reality is that for many of the healthcare providers who are out there, they may have never seen a veteran before in their professional practice, or they may only see them very infrequently. So it may be that sometimes they need a little bit of extra advice and support on what is the best way that I can be providing support to this individual and the very particular needs that they might have as a consequence of their military service.
And how has the impact of that been sort of filtered through thus far? Have you been happy with the results of that?
Yeah, look, I think that whenever we talk to people, they always really appreciate the support that we can provide. And, it's also about trying to make sure that people know about the service and that they can access it also. But we have this panel with a lot of military experience sitting on it, and I think they always really appreciate that ability to get that really tailored advice about how they can assist an individual and their family when they are struggling.
I guess just going back finally to that question of the Royal Commission again, if Scott Morrison is open, he stated that he's open to the idea, and if such a commission were to eventuate, what are your main hopes of what would be achieved from such an inquiry?
Look, I really can't comment on the relative merits either way of a Royal Commission. I think that the issue more is that we already know a lot about this population. We already know that the risk in terms of mental health problems and suicide is higher than the general community, and we already know the areas that we could be doing to provide or improve the services which are available to them. I think that the focus should be on looking at what we already know and trying to improve those things in the first instance.
Thank you so much for your time this morning, Nicole.
Yeah, not a problem at all. Thanks for having me, Amelia.
Fantastic. Thanks so much.
Yes. Bye.